Well, hello. Welcome to the Inside Hour. Thanks for joining us tonight, folks. It is now midnight on the East Coast. Welcome to Wednesday for you folks. And on the West Coast, it's 9 p.m. Hawaii time, it's about 7 o'clock, I think. And Reverend Roxy Hampton tonight is going to be joining us later in the show. She usually starts the program when she's able to. She's got a councilwoman's meeting tonight, and that's really part of what we had on the docket tonight to discuss was what's happening in Hawaii in local politics, which is very important because it reflects national politics. And as we'll talk about tonight, there's a resolution that we are advancing in Hawaii as a test, which we're also asking you to test in your local community. We'll talk about that resolution tonight having to do with what's necessary to save some lives. And you can go look at that resolution on fluscam.com if you want to get to that resolution ahead of time before we discuss it tonight. Anyway, I'm going to give it up to the Creator as we do every Tuesday night to begin this program and give thanks to the Creator for all the blessings. So if you'll join me tonight in heartfelt, loving prayer and giving thanks, that would be greatly appreciated. Let's do it.
Rev Roxy just got here.
Oh, wonderful. We just had Reverend Roxy come in the door. Well, you know what? If you want to put her on the line, just tell her that where we're at, you know. Go right ahead.
Hello.
There you go.
I apologize and yet not.
Just started. 1 minute into the show.
Ooh. Did we do the opening, Lynn?
Well, you know where the folks who are on BBS are waiting for you, my beloved sister. And those of you who are listening on the internet via Love 528 TV, I'm not sure you're going to be able to pick up Reverend Roxy tonight. Let me see if I can increase the volume and see if we can get her to give you a little bit of a welcome to the Inside Hour. Go ahead, Reverend Roxy.
All right. Count me down, somebody. I'm like a Swiss watch. I like to be counted down.
Go right ahead.
All right. You know what day it is and you know what time it is. It is Tuesday, so this must be the Inside Hour. I'm Reverend Roxy, and of course, before we give it up, before we do anything, I need to bring the man of the hour in that is Inside Hour, Dr. Leonard Horowitz. Will you please do the invocation for this evening so that we can celebrate our brother Sign who has come here to visit with us. Let us give thanks.
Well, thanks, Reverend Roxy. Yeah, well, I was just about to do that, so let's go into it. Heavenly Creator, we praise you for your glorious blessing. Thanks for the listeners tonight. I ask for a special anointing and blessing for everyone listening to the Inside Hour tonight on BBS and on Love528TV.net so that every single one of us can join hearts and collaborate together in joy and blessing and health and safety. And as people who receive your word, your will, your way to serve others that maybe don't have your word, your will, your way so clear, that we may serve them by bringing your clarity, your divinity, your absolute certainty so that we can prepare ourselves for what's happening in the world today as we move through some very interesting and challenging times where there's challenges, there's opportunities, and we thank you for all the opportunities, all the blessings. We ask for all the resources that are necessary to not just survive, but to thrive in these challenging economic and times of great uncertainty regarding our health. And we ask for protection and the protective angels and the angels of direction, as well as those angels that bring the resources necessary for us to serve you maximally. Thank you, in Yeshua's blessed name, praise you. Amen.
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 All right.
All right, so welcome, Reverend Roxy. Thanks for joining us tonight on the Inside Hour. Where were you tonight at the councilwoman's meeting, I hear?
Oh, yeah, we had to do some serious deliberating, and I can say I'm very happy. Fight is a sin, they say, but I'm very happy that the pieces of legislation that yours truly, with Auntie Emily's instigation, have moved on to the council agendas and our intention for people to be able to live in a tent and build their home here on the island in Pune is now moving forward. So we had a victory today. We had several victories today. We were victorious in moving our Hawk bill out of committee and onto the agenda. So we had unanimous support on our Hawk bill because we have the U.S. wildlife people over there, the state and federal government, that think that the hawk, the Hawaiian hawk, doesn't need to be protected anymore, that it could be taken off of the... But Auntie Emily was quick to point out to everyone that not only is the hawk's critical habitat in endangered, our critical habitat, us as human beings, are endangered, and so therefore we're all on the list, so we might as well maintain the hawk on the list. And so we were prevailed, and it moved out. And I'm just kind of feeling kind of, you know how it is when you're in the halls and chambers of deliberation. There's a lot of, well, never mind. Praise the Lord. Let them know that there's victories afoot and that people are in places where they can do good. And that's what it's all about, doing good.
You bet. You know, I just want to make a comment. For those of you who are viewing over Love528TV.com. I'm sorry that we don't have audio of Reverend Roxy tonight nor Mitch Fine, but you can get that audio on BBSRadio.com. So if you want to open up BBSRadio.com, you'll be able to get, I believe they're streaming tonight, possibly, actually maybe not because we're not in Skype tonight. I've been moving offices and I'm on the road right now, and so obviously I'm coming to you tonight via a hotel room. It's better than nothing. And so I ask for your perseverance tonight, and you can get the audio for tonight's program on bbsradio.com. So, Reverend Roxy, I want to also thank you for the opportunity to advance this resolution that we have on fluscam.com, which let me just introduce that to the audience for a minute. If you folks who are out there and you are concerned about the flu and the swine flu pandemic that is circulating. The reality is that the drug industrialists, if you've been listening to us long enough, you know that the drug industrialists and our governing officials who take on these vaccinations and then establish these policies to vaccinate the population are really conducting genocide under the guise of public health, and that this is actually something that you and I need to share with others in order to save some lives and do some good, do far better than what's being done in healthcare reform by the current administration. We need to really look at what are the risks of vaccinations, and we need to prepare people to exempt out if we can possibly do that. Now, the resolution that Reverend Roxy has asked me to sponsor and to write up is done in collaboration with some brothers and sisters, actually several of them throughout the United States. Dr. Gabriel Cousins is one who's contributed beautifully to this current effort we have to wake people up and to do something definitively in terms of a political action. The concept, first of all, that you probably are familiar with is that there's really very little that you do when you write letters to legislators. There's really not a huge impact. And Reverend Roxy, you correct me if I'm wrong. On the local level, maybe that's so, but on the national and even state levels, you know, with public health policy officials establishing the policies that's based on, for example, international efforts, the World Health Organization, whereby the Rockefeller-directed military, medical, petrochemical, pharmaceutical cartel who are engaged in profiteering off of humanity's suffering in this globalist agenda and this movement towards this concept of neocolonialism or neo-fascism or corporate fascism that is currently in the United States operating under the guise of democracy, where we vote for our candidates, but yet our candidates, whether Democratic or Republican, seem to always follow the same old policies. For case in point, the vaccination policies of the Barack Obama administration is following precisely what George W. Bush placed into legislation when he created, along with the Patriot Act, the Model State Emergency Health Powers Act, and that gave them additional support for the mandated vaccinations and the mandated quarantines and the military support for this federal emergency management effort to really make people comply with what the public health officials say is in our best interest, that is mass vaccinations and, if necessary, mass quarantines. So this kind of legislation, for us to stop this legislation by what the political actions currently, which is engaging the internet and engaging even YouTube, which is heavily controlled. We found that out in the last few weeks. And engaging letter-writing campaigns or signing petitions for national or even state modifications in legislation and action. Well, you see, they don't do too well. And we've learned that by example. We've learned that probably more than a dozen times, where we realize that those efforts, although well-intended, fail to produce the legislative results and the protective results. So we, the people, then have to consider, well, how are we going to take our message to not just the people and have a maximal impact, but also let the message really be heard on Capitol Hill, where it's so necessary. So Reverend Roxy gave me an assignment a couple weeks ago to draft a resolution for the county of Hawaii. And through the Emily Naoli and the campaign and the support that she has in the grassroots and the support that she has from the native people of Hawaii and the support that she has from the Kingdom of Hawaii, all of that can come to bear to support a local resolution that would make vaccination for the flu exemption possibility. In other words, that it would overrule state and federal directives. The feds can say it's mandatory. The state health officials can say it's mandatory. But if a resolution is passed locally by a county council on behalf of the community, then that council can provide the exemptions that are necessary for people to choose to opt out of the vaccination program. And so that's extremely important for two reasons. One is it sustains the statutes that give us religious and philosophical exemptions or freedom to choose. Number one, that's on the record right now in most states, but as this swine flu threat and hype and psychological operation is unfolding internationally. Examples, today it was announced that the entire country of Greece, all of the citizens, all the people of Greece, are going to be mandated to take this flu vaccine, unproven experimental flu vaccines that are from the most unreliable companies, infamous Baxter Corporation, the Novavax Corporation here in the United States. All of these companies have very shady histories if you really begin to investigate them. And so nations and nation states are going to be subjecting their populations to unproven, experimental, highly toxic vaccinations, ultimately because what we're witnessing is population reduction, population control policies being waged by the global industrialists that seek to reduce populations today by more than 50% simply because, A, they don't need us around anymore, they've got automation, and B, the fact is that they say that the world is overpopulated and that clearly populations, excess populations, are war material. It is material that is risky to have around because of revolutionary wars. And as people become awake and aware, and as the children who are being born today are so brilliant and potentially having these extreme geniuses, the indigo children who have even changes in their genetics, where you begin to realize, oh, wow, if this whole evolution in consciousness in the population revolution occurs, as it is, we know it is already happening, what would be the impact on the global industrialists that have been maintaining their control over populations for centuries, if not millennia, and that the reality is that the corporations that they control and everything about the way that society is controlled through the governments and the political puppets that they give us a chance to vote for, you know, the payoff through the special interest groups, all the ways that they control policies and agendas, becomes potentially at risk with larger populations. So the population reduction is extremely important in their overall agenda. Now, how do we, the people, you and I, make an impact? We can't do it federally. We can't even do it at the state level. Believe me, I've been at this thing for litigation against the state of Hawaii for about 5-6 years now with regard to the tuberculosis skin testing scam, and we haven't made too much progress there. But the reality is we can take a resolution such as we prepared for you to freely download at fluscam.com, and we can then place that resolution before our local township committee persons and our local councilwomen and counselors and say, please bring this resolution up for discussion. And the beauty of the resolution is that it lays out the United States Constitution and the principal defenses. And we have on the line tonight an expert in this area, Mitchell Fine. He is an attorney, and he's joined Reverend Roxy Hampton tonight in Hawaii. And I'm going to ask Mitch to come on in a minute and give me some commentary as to what his view is of the manner in which we're moving this resolution concept forward in defense of the United States Constitution that lays out, number one, religious freedom. That if you hold strict religious freedom according to the Old and New Testament and even the Quran, then you don't want to intoxicate the blood. And you can claim, if you're a Jew or you're a Christian or you're a Muslim, you certainly can state your religious conviction that intoxicating the blood through vaccination is something that you do not want for you or your children. And your state statutes right now in 48 states give you that freedom. Now, the issue is also a philosophical one. Here in the state of California, where I am currently, you have a philosophical exemption based on the same understanding. Now, all of that is going to be potentially or currently is at risk. And by the time the flu season gets here, one order from the World Health Organization and health officials of the United States federal government and that reliable freedom of religion law from the U.S. Constitution is completely null and voided in the hysteria, in the statutory laws that have been enacted. So, number one, we're relying on the Constitution for religious freedom, but more incredibly interesting to me, and maybe we can have Mitch Fine comment on this legally. It says in the Constitution, number one, that no state or Congress can enact legislation that violates or undermines the Constitution of the United States of America, number one. Number two, it says that if, for any reason, the government of the United States or state governments choose to take people's property, they must provide adequate compensation for that property. Yet that is clear, though no one, to my knowledge to date, has ever used that argument in a court of law to sustain our freedom of religion and exemption from intoxication called vaccination. In other words, your immune system is your property. The functioning of your immune system is a natural God-given gift. It's an inheritance as a gift from the Creator. It is yours in your Holy Spirit-filled sovereign temple as the number one gift and property that keeps you healthy. If the government of the United States is going to dictate and state officials are going to dictate that your blood is going to become intoxicated through vaccination and your natural immune responsiveness is going to be undermined, stolen, and superseded by a man-made laboratory genetic recombination that in all their brilliance the scientists still haven't even tested. So it's completely experimental with regard to the swine flu vaccines that they're telling us that we've got to get. So the reality is it's a property, sacred, sovereign, works, has worked for millennia to protect humanity against infectious diseases. Now, if that's the case, the government of the United States and the standard argument in the taking of these blood and intoxicating the blood and the taking away of human rights to exempt out and religious freedom to exempt out of vaccination programs, if the government of the United States is going to do that, they must, according to the United States Constitution, provide adequate compensation. Yet, despite the fact that we have had the National Childhood Injury Act of 1986 for vaccine injury children, there have been at least 500,000 families today that should be receiving compensation that are not, because the system simply is not working. That the data, in fact, is not collected that you can use to prove vaccine injury. 90% of the vaccine injury data is unavailable according to the Centers for Disease Control. That is, the doctors do not track their patients and the children who get vaccinated and then get injured. So if the data is missing, you can't conduct, number one, risk-benefit analysis to prove that this is a valuable procedure to vaccinate or intoxicate humanity's blood. And second of all, you can't ever claim compensation for injury because you can't document the injury came from the vaccination. So the drug industrials have it sewn up. But the reality is that the argument has been that this is for the public's good. The argument has been that we have the policies established to vaccinate, mass inoculate people for the benefit of the public at large. The argument that officials wage is that, well, yes, there are some vaccine injured, but in the general sense, it's doing general good. And we're balancing, weighing the individual versus the population, the whole public. And they're claiming because of that, they have the right to legislate this injection. So if that's the case, I'm advancing now with this resolution for the first time that I'm aware of in history, a new legal argument that states, okay, if you public health officials are going to be mandating this vaccination, then you must provide compensation for all of those people who are convinced that for philosophical and religious reasons, they do not want to have any part of this. Mitchell Fine, welcome to the Inside Hour.
Thank you, Doctor. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, great to hear your voice again, Mitch.
And yours, Doctor.
So give us a little background, Mitch, on what you perceive of this vaccine issue and its legal aspects, and particularly insofar as this concept of there potentially being a resolution at the county level that might be able to save many of us.
Well, first, Doctor, I want to thank you for your work and your unceasing and untiring efforts on behalf of everyone on this planet today and for future generations. I mean, you are truly one of the beacons of light. And the thing that attracted me initially to your work was not that you just speak about the problems, but I believe in your work on harmonics and vibrational healing, you really have a path for us all to heal at a mass level. So I want to compliment you on both on bringing the negative to light, but also, unlike so many people, having a real solution. So thank you and praises for your work.
Thank you very much, Mitch. As a beloved brother who I know is heavily anointed, guided, and gifted from the angels, from the divinely sourcing angels, it's an honor and really a privilege for me to hear you say that, and thank you very much.
So in terms of the legal aspects of things, and I think you really you touched on it, and for your analysis, I think is spot on. What the government is doing today is we do have constitutional rights, freedom of speech, freedom of religion. But what the state does traditionally, to frame an argument to lessen these freedoms or to take these freedoms away, they come up with this concept of compelling interest. And so, for example, a very simple example is everyone knows we all have federally protected right to freedom of speech. but it's not a right that you can do go anywhere with. And the example that's given in law school to basic first-year law students is you don't have the right to name fire in a crowded movie theater. So there are restrictions to time, place, and manner. But the thing that's distinct between saying to someone you can't yell fire in a crowded theater is you can go outside and in the public park and you can talk about fire all you want. I think what's unique about this bioterrorism that's being conducted against our immune systems is that once you're injected with this vile pathology, there's no going back. There is no time, place, manner. It's absolute. So the compelling interest test is a balance test. On one hand, you say, well, we need to vaccinate in order to protect people's health. But on the other hand, and you were touching on this where you said, don't have the data. The data is missing. What is the value of these vaccinations? And I know here with your work, there's little to none, but that data is not out there. So when you create these events, for example, what we've had recently with this flu, there's a fear factor, and everybody turns around, the government's there with their ready-made solution to say, okay, the solution to this fear, the solution to this problem is vaccination. And seeing that there's no other body of work or weight saying, hey, these don't work, and not only don't they work, they actually create harm, then the compelling interest always goes towards vaccination. So your work, getting the word out, getting the information out, especially through local levels, the work that Reverend Roxy is doing here on the Big Island with Councilwoman Emily Naoli, and your work fighting the vaccinations here at the local level, I think that's really where the battle has to be, because I agree, it's not going to happen at the state level, it's not going to happen at the federal level. We have to build grassroots.
What do you think of the concept of that we've advanced now with regard to, if you're going to take a property called the immune system or the immunity, natural immunity, and substitute pharmaceutical sorcery, then you're taking a property that needs to be compensated. Mitchell, what do you think of that? Give us, if you would, I know that we can't take what you're about to say to the bank necessarily, because we know how the system of injustice operates. It never gives us really the... what I think most of us know in our hearts to be the full measure of justice. But what is your prognosis on that line of reasoning if it were to go to the Supreme Court even?
Well, I think it's very interesting. I mean, today one of the developing areas of law is bioethics. And this stuff is new. And I think it's individuals like yourself, doctor, who are testing the law at the local level and coming up with novel ways to define what is property. There's also the Fourth Amendment gives us the right unreasonable searches and seizures. And there's been a lot of litigation. For example, when you're stopped on the highways and byways of the United States of America, the police have the right to force you to give urine, blood, or breath. And the reason they can do that is because they said that driving is not a right, it's a privilege. But now, where you get to your home, the castle doctrine and the protection that traditionally, reserved to the home, the protections increase. They say, okay, we can take a search and seizure of the blood on the road, but in terms of a seizure in the house, there are greater protections that have to be in place. I like your argument because I think it goes, it's a gradation here. The protection of taking and injecting this vile matter into your bloodstream should have even a higher rate of protection than even that you have in your home. So I think you framed it in the analogy of traditional jurisprudence, and I think it would be a novel argument for the Supreme Court to hear.
Yeah, I'd like to see it go to that level. Folks listening on, let's just do a station identification. We're on bbsradio.com right now. You can hear us audio. I apologize for those of you who are seeking us on love528tv.net this evening. We don't have a both combined audio and video signal. You can probably get the video. You can hear my voice fine, but when we're talking about with Mitchell Fine, attorney Mitchell Fine, and Reverend Roxy Hampton from Hawaii this evening, you're going to have to tune in to bbsradio.com to get the audio signal. And the reason for that is I am on the road. As you can see in the background here is a hotel room, and this is live from my hotel room in Southern California. And so I appreciate those of you who are staying with us. I can see there are still many of you joining us on love528tv.net. So thanks for joining us, and you'll just have to put up with us, and I pray that you will. I'm here tonight with speaking long distance to Mitchell Fine, who's an attorney who is very much engaged in California politics with Governor Jerry Brown and his administration. I'm in California. I can tell you right now that this state is in absolute chaos, that I know Schwarzenegger has, as I talked to a lot of people over the last several months, has done what many of us understood this movie actor, Supermensch, was going to do, basically nothing that would really help the state. And quite frankly, the state is so bankrupt here in California that they're issuing IOUs to state workers that take those IOUs to the banks, and the banks are turning them down saying, we're not going to take this. They want money. And so there's a chaos already unfolding here in Southern California where I'm broadcasting tonight. And I'm sure that we can get a report from Reverend Roxy tonight about what's happening economically on the Big Island of Hawaii, typically a tourist area. I know Las Vegas is having a horrible time with tourism way down. I suspect similar for the Hawaii and the Hawaiian Islands. But the concept, the urgency that I feel in my heart, and as I've watched over the days pass by my desk over the internet, the concept that we're going to be forcefully injected is real. Even though right now the authorities have backed off, and I'll tell you some good news over the last 24 hours, the New York State Nurses Association has come out and said they will not go along with a forced flu vaccination program. That happened within the last 24, 48 hours. What a wonderful blessing that is. So this is the first group and the first sign that we may be as successful as we were with the smallpox vaccination campaign. A few years back, you may recall that the government was forcing, again, and I had all of this laid out as to what companies were involved. It was Acambus, and it was Acambus and associated with Bioport. Today, Bioport is called Biothrax. It's the anthrax vaccine people. And the Acambus people were the smallpox vaccine people that are, in fact, linked to Baxter Corporation, the producers, the primary producers of the swine flu vaccine, H1N1, that has been stockpiled to the max. And this past week, I put out a press release. If you didn't see it, you got to get on the mailing list at healthyworldstore.com. Sign up, healthyworldstore.com. Become an affiliate of Healthy World Store. We're going to be advancing a very exciting affiliate program in the next several months. But the reality is that this ability that we have to tell the truth, to get the word out, to get people to make the right decisions from the grassroots up, this resolution has a powerful capacity to do that, because here's why. If you were to take this free download, just go to fluscam.com right now. You'll see a menu link that says resolution. Click on it. Open it up and read it. And you will copy it and paste it into a Word document. Print it. Take it down to your local officials. You want to modify it with your signature and get some signatures in your own community that will sign it. Get some physicians in, get some attorneys that are bright like Mitch Fine, and bring it into your local county council persons. Ask them to bring it before the county committee meetings or the township committee meetings. And then hold discussions. Alert the press. Alert your local press to cover this story. suddenly now you've undermined the mainstream media, which is simply giving out propaganda in the psychological operation that's advancing genocide under the guise of public health. You've got the county council people engaged in discussion and debate. The public health people are going to bring in their experts. You bring in people like myself. You bring in people like, for example, Reverend Roxy Hampton, who knows a lot about this. Ingrid Cassell Harkins from Northern Idaho. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. There are many, many people out there that have a tremendous amount of expertise and knowledge in the scam of this vaccination and where the origination of swine flu comes from. So you can educate the county council, you can educate the local media, and you can at the same time educate your committee, your community. And so that is an opportunity that has been unprecedented and sorely missing in this thing. Those of you listening tonight, where are you? You're in a virtual reality. You better believe that the internet is a control technology. You have got to understand that even though we're together tonight on BBSradio.com, it would be far better if we were able to be in the same room together. It would be far more alive. You'd be able to see all of my facial expressions in a far better light. You'd be able to realize that, you know, you'd be able to feel my heart, and you'd be able to do that, and likewise I'd be able to feel yours. We're living through the internet now, and our political actions are virtual realities. What we need, first of all, is we need to resurrect the political movements and the activism of the 60s, where we show up a million strong at the White House and say, we're not just happy to see Barack Obama elected president. We want action. We want action for we the people. And we're going to stay here until we get it. And we're going to do like Gandhi proposed. We're going to have peaceful protests where we're going to demand through fasting and prayer that these needs for we the people are met. So this is the real reality. The media, especially television and the internet, is a virtual reality. The greatest danger, one of the greatest dangers of high definition video is the fact that it's more real than real. It's more real. It looks more vivid. The colors are more beautiful and more intense than real life. So what does that do? You know, you watch people watch television. It's a hypnosis machine. They don't blink. Standard definition of hypnosis is relaxation coupled with a clear channel of communication. That's classic definition of hypnosis. So this is virtual reality that we're engaging tonight as this community that's come together tonight on the Insight Hour. And what I'm saying is you've got to take this resolution down to your town hall, to your township committee, to your local county council. Get engaged with those people in real life. Let them hear, feel your heart and hear from your heart, and then give them a copy of the resolution that then they can bring up for the docket for discussion, debate, the local media can cover it, and you can educate your local community to these urgencies. So that's, Reverend Roxy, go ahead, share, please.
Oh yeah. What I wanted to interject, for a lack of a better word, I wanted to say that what has happened for me as I called upon you to help me with this resolution, and as we begin to craft it, it's actually a living document. It is a living, breathing document. And so what I want to tell everybody out there who are listening now live, and also who will be listening to this because Len will be rebroadcasting it, is that we really need to do our homework. We really, you know, I can only tell you, Len, that this goes deeper. This is so deep that it's beyond our Constitution, because now the international lawyers and all of international law comes into place. And when we think about us on the county level having to always be told that the state supersedes us, and think about the state always saying that the federal government supersedes them, but not really. What happens is the state acquiesces to the federal government and forms partnerships. And so what has happened here that I've discovered, Glenn, that really, really needs to be the crux of it, is that we have to stop rubber stamping legislation. And that's why I believe that this document is such a living document, because each whereas is compelling, and there is no whereas that will go into this resolution. I would love to see us craft this resolution on an online, give it to me, baby. I know you can do this, where just like a chat room or a blog, people are putting their serious whereases as they begin to discover the truth about vaccination. So that when they go into converse, these communications and all the emails become compelling, because what politicians will listen to is a groundswell of compelling evidence that tells them, get real. Go back and look at the church commission. Go back and look at the church committee and ask yourself, wasn't it the CIA that was telling you that they had little dart guns and that they could take viruses on the tips of those little darts and they could give people cysts and brain cancer and all kinds of things? We can go back and find the evidence within the congressional records. So if we can take all of the people that are now sitting in those seats and now bring them compelling, then they can go up against Goliath. And today is his birthday. The double nine of diamonds is celebrating his birthday. You know what that makes him, Len? I have to say this to everybody. In the cards, it makes him a double loser. A loser. A loser of things. Not his own. Of other people. This is what's so clever about this card that now is in the White House. And this card doesn't mind losing all of us. That's the Machiavellian way of being a leader. You have to be willing to sacrifice people for the good of a few. And so what you have now is someone who is willing to reason while he's smoking his cigarettes. I can't even make up his mind about tobacco, is now going to make decisions about vaccinations. That we're going to have federally recommended vaccinations that could be created in two months. And what you need to understand also is it's not so much now that we're fighting for all the dirty vaccines. I am fighting because I do not like the idea that they're fermenting the vaccines. That the way that they are getting these vaccines is through batch fermentation process. So from A to Z, zymotic diseases. I'm saying these things through the spirit. I'm Reverend Moxie. You're Dr. Len. We've come together. You're from Philadelphia. I'm from New Jersey. It is all about freedom. Whose immune system is it anyway? Amen. I wanted to interject that. So let's have a living resolution that is ever growing. It cannot be too small. So folks, if you're listening to this, go do your homework and add your whereas, but let it be a fact that is incontrovertible, that it can be taken to the bank, because we're dealing with lawyers now, and we're dealing with international law, and WHO, and everybody else, to save ourselves and our souls and our property. So it's got to happen on the ground level. And power flows where attention goes. And that is what we have to do. We have to bring it back down into the lower echelon of this conversation, which is us, down at the county level, down at the supervisors. Bring them, inundate them with a swell of truth, and we will prevail, for they will not be able to convince. And we may end up being slaughtered, but I'd rather go down swinging and slugging for my protection for myself and praying to God, knowing that I'm doing the right thing, than to do the easy cop-out thing, which is to listen to these knuckleheads and let them rubber stamp us and roll up our sleeves 3 times. Not 1 time, but 3 times. Fool me once, what? Fool me twice, yeah. And fool me 3 times, I might as well just lay down and get in one of those FEMA coffins. Amen.
That's right. Okay, folks listening tonight on love528tv.com, sorry that we're unable to bring you Reverend Roxie's audio signal tonight. But you can get it on BBS Radio. BBS Radio is broadcasting live tonight, the Inside Hour. So
this
thanks to
missing.
Don Newsom. Reverend Roxie, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to tell them they can listen to what they're missing.
That's right. You can listen to what you're missing tonight on BBSRadio.com. And those of you who are joining us on the Love528.com. TV or love528tv.net. Thanks for staying with us. You know, I want to also give thanks to healthyworldstore.com. Folks, there is a couple products that you really need to look at. For those of you who have dental problems, periodontal disease, gum disease, as well as teeth, or have children who have decayed teeth, stay away from the sugar, obviously. Brush and floss as best you can. But the reality is we've got a product that's just so incredible. It's called Liquid Dentist, and you really should find out about it by going to healthyworldstore.com. You can also go to www.liquiddentist.net. Liquiddentist.net will give you a great understanding about what this incredible product is for reversing tooth decay, reversing gum disease. It's a little bit of work that you'll have to do. Brush, floss like normal, but use Liquid Dentist instead of toothpaste and mouthwashes, and you will be astonished at how powerful that is and how clean your teeth really feel for not just 20 minutes like after a good hygiene visit. You know, after you go to a hygienist, your teeth feel nice and clean, but, you know, after about 20 minutes, you develop the first level of growth that's called pellicle, and then the bacteria grow in the pellicle, and then a day later, you feel your teeth are kind of like, feel like they've got little bacteria growing on them. It's called plaque. Well, the reality is that if you use Liquid Dentist, you've only got the plaque showing up after 3.5 days. It feels like it's extremely clean, your teeth, and they stay that way amazingly. So check out www.healthyworldstore.com for some amazing products. And then I would also highly recommend you look at Love Minerals. LoveMinerals.net, LoveMinerals.net. Get some of the minerals and get on PrimaLife and get on Zeolife, particularly Zeolife for detoxification. A lot of people are going to be questioning, how do you get mercury out of your system after they get vaccinated? A lot of people are going to be questioning, how do you get the foreign RNA and DNA and the proteins that are prompting immune dysfunction and autoimmune diseases out of your body after you get vaccinated? Well, the best that we can offer you is the great detoxification aid called Zeolife. Zeolife. You can go to zeolife.com, but don't hold me to that. I think it could be zeolife.net. Zeolife.net. And find out about this most amazing product that helps you maximally with detoxification. I'm not giving up on clay and bentonite clays for removing mercury, nor am I giving up on homeopathics for doing similar detoxification strategies. Those are all wonderful, and I would recommend them. However, there's nothing more powerful for detoxification than Zeolife. For those of you who are also concerned about the swine flu or the flu season itself, or getting infectious diseases, any kind, well, the product called OxySilver, you heard me talk about, you've heard Reverend Roxy on the Inside Hour talk about OxySilver. Go to OxySilver.com and join up as an affiliate. If you're going to join up as an affiliate of OxySilver, you'll be grandfathered in or grandmothered in to the affiliate program that's unfolding in the next month or so on Healthy World Store. You're going to have HealthyWorldAffiliates.com very soon, where you'll have a great opportunity to make a lot of money doing the right thing, telling people the truth, educating people so that they're aware to come out of the medical insanity, the medicine, the sin reality of medical deities and the deceptions of satanic sorcery that the drug industrialists say is modern medicine. Well, gee whiz, you know, we've got greater things to do than be sickened and enslaved to drugs. And educating people is what we're going to be doing. We're unfolding a whole series of new seminars that are going to educate a whole army of health educators, health coaches, health counselors, health ambassadors. In fact, Healthy World Ambassadors is what we're going to be advancing, along with a series of seminar programs that are going to provide certification as well as the official recognition of having taken these courses by World Organization for Natural Medicine. And advancing this, along with what we're planning to do in Hawaii, and Reverend Roxy and I and Mitchell Fine have a meeting with Galen Rye over in Hawaii to discuss over the next couple hours, not on the inside, but after the show tonight, the advancement of a six-year naturopathic doctorate program that people who qualify will be able to engage a six-year academic training program to become naturopathic doctors certified by the World Organization for Natural Medicine, contributing to the Clinics for Humanity project that opens up free natural healing clinics and places in them residency programs where students who are engaged in the six-year curriculum actually engage in natural healing with patients who can't afford. And, you know, quite frankly, as I have said, one of the greatest things that the economic collapse has brought about is the elimination for a lot of families of health insurance. When what a blessing it is not to be able to have to go or actually be compelled by incentives to go to medical deities for getting drugs. A lot of people get sick by going to doctors and getting drugs. So the reality is if you go to a naturopathic doctor for free in your local community, that's what we're establishing, and that the evolution into that program starts with the Healthy World affiliates and the subsequent training programs that lead to your opportunity to engage in a six-year degree program that at the end of 6 years, you've not only done your residency, two-year residency program serving the needy, but also you are board eligible. Take your state examination in naturopathic medicine because you'll be certified by the World Organization for Natural Medicine and other excellent organizations to do so. And you pass that state because of the training, you will pass that state exam and you will be then licensed to practice not just in Hawaii but anywhere in the United States as a naturopathic doctor. Also, I would want you to know about the wonderful new website that we put up just about 2 weeks ago. I mentioned it a couple weeks ago when I was on the Inside Hour with you. It is the website www.alternativehealthcarenow.org. alternativehealthcarenow.org heralds some wonderful things, including the new law, the state law in New Mexico that gives alternative care providers freedom to practice their skills and their loving contributions to people's health without fear of the Food and Drug Administration, without fear of being taken out by the petrochemical pharmaceutical cartels, Gestapo, the FDA. And so this is what we're advancing. Check that website out, alternativehealthcarenow.org. I also want to share with you some other wonderful revelations that came about this week. Mayor Eisenstein, a doctor, colleague and friend, he's also an attorney. Attorney and medical doctor Eisenstein has been really just blessing us every day just about with new messages concerning the vaccine agenda. For your information, Mayor Eisenstein has served over the past decade approximately 20,000 families in his pediatric practice wherein he has insisted, because he claims that I personally, that he says Dr. Len Horowitz was the person who really convinced me to tell all of my patients not to get vaccinated. Now that's a high, high honor that he's paid me, because one of his professors and his mentors was the great medical doctor who wrote Confessions of a Medical Heretic, Dr. Mendelsohn. That was Dr. Mayor Eisenstein's mentor, and even though Dr. Mendelsohn was a staunch anti-vaccine crusader and a preacher of the truth regarding vaccination toxicity, Mayor Eisenstein claims that it was I, Dr. Len Horowitz, who really compelled him through the information that I presented to cease and desist telling his family and his patients to get vaccinated. So this is a man who, over the past 10 years, has not vaccinated one child, not one infant, and he has delivered thousands and thousands of babies to 20,000 families. And he frankly has not one single case of autism, autistic spectrum disorder, among his 20,000 families. Now that in and of itself is a scientific study. That in and of itself shows you where today the Centers for Disease Control claims that one in every 64 families, approximately, the rate last year was 150. Today it's one in about 64 families have an autistic child. Here in Mayor Eisenstein's 20,000 families, there's not one autistic child. So I want to thank Dr. Eisenstein this week for all the wonderful work that he's been putting out, and he has delivered to us this news from New York that the State Nurses Association is refusing the swine flu vaccinations and the flu vaccines. And that means, I'm sorry? Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, I see the time. Time is up. Thanks. Thank you very much, Seth. Anyway, folks, we've come to the end of the Inside Hour. Thank you, Reverend Roxy Hampton. Thank you, Mitch Fine. Love you, folks, and stay tuned on BBS Radio for our brother Don Nikoloff, who brings you Evident Footprints. Talk to you next week. Bye for now.
Thank you, Seth.